How many are glad to know that, you know, God is just absolutely faithful. And he is incredibly on the job, whether we're on, off, or indifferent. I want us to pray today because the message today is absolutely 180 degrees opposite of everything you hear in the world. Okay? For some of you young folks, this is going to be the first time you've ever heard this stuff. Because guess what I'm going to tell you? It's your fault. Ouch. Yeah. That you have some personal responsibility to engage and to invest what God has given you. Some of you, this is the first time you're going to hear it. So I'm going to ask God to comfort your ears, okay? And the devil not rob you from hearing of how our lives can be invested. Is that cool? I want you to know that I love you dearly. I want you to know that I want you to achieve. I want you to prosper. I want you to have everything that God will grant you in this lifetime. But more than that, guess what? I want you to know that you're heading to a place where immeasurably more goes on. Immeasurably more than you can imagine goes on. But right now, we want to take what God's given us, plan it, invest it, and use it wisely so the world might see Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, it's real easy to talk this job. I ask people, you know, I say, well, what's our responsibility? Now, a lot of you young folk over here, good young folk, you're dedicated, you love the Lord. You're hearing this word, to glorify God. I mean, y'all have heard that. Our responsibility is to glorify God. I agree with that 100%. I don't have any disagreement. But then I ask this question, how? And the room gets strangely silent. It's real easy to throw. Every youthful generation has its cliche. I think it has its religious cliche. Deanna, if you remember ours back in kind of, you know, God's awesome. And you had to say it. It wasn't awesome. It's awesome. You know, when I was young, God was awesome. They go, what did that mean? Awesome. It's kind of this word that sounded holy and it sounded big and it sounded godly, but we really didn't know how to process. Well, guess what? God is also very practical. And God lives in the daily life of people. How many of y'all believe that? That God gets in the daily life of people and he loves us all deeply. So, man, I'm praying. Listen, we're going back to school. Some of you have already started school in other school systems. We got a lot of school systems here. But guess what? In the Warren County schools, in Warren County, our schools start Tuesday and Thursday. All of our school systems will be on the go. Our private schools will be up and rolling. Homeschool's up and rolling. And God's doing just some incredibly amazing things in our education system. So, you know, I want to lift up a prayer for all of our teachers, educators. We got them. Listen, if you're at Hillview Heights Church, you're in the Church of Teachers. We got teachers. And we got a lot of principals, and I think the reason we have a lot of principals is when I was going through school, I spent a lot of time with principals because I wanted to learn administration, and they granted me that opportunity. And so I just want you guys to know with all seriousness, man, thank you, educators. And we got a lot of students, man. A lot of y'all going to be students. A lot of y'all still doing the student process. So I want to pray this, that you all will learn in such a way that you'll be capable of really living a full and abundant life. Is that cool? Whatever God's made you do. So let's pray. It's serious today. I want you to get this word in your mind. Invest. Invest. God's called me to invest. Okay? If you have received grace in your life, God has made an investment of grace and mercy in you. Compliments of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has already put in you possibility. That's through his grace and mercy. Many of you have been baptized. You just witnessed possibility. Okay, grace and mercy is in you. Now, here's what I want you to know, guys. Listen. God wants to prosper your life. God wants to free you. He wants to release you. Now, we live in a world today that will sell you short to control you. You hear what I'm saying? They will sell you short to control you. They will give you a little if you'll be satisfied with it, so you can miss what God will give you. Here's one thing, one way, one process, before we pray, in the practical solution on how to glorify God. We take the gifts, the talents, the abilities that he has given us and maximize them. Senator Wilson, I appreciate this will be a sermon out of your heart, God's heart that he's given you. It's things that you have worked in legislating to try to get done in education and jobs. Okay, it's going to be real today. Okay, I appreciate your efforts. People don't want to hear this today, but I want you to hear what God said today. I want you to hear what God said today, not what MSNBC says or CNN says or Fox says or our government say. I want you to hear what God said, the guy that created you, the God that made you, the Lord that loves you, the grace and mercy that's forgiven you. I want you to hear what he has to say today. Amen. Well, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for each person that you have individually knitted together and made today. And Lord, some of them are brought here today because the grace and mercy, the salvation, forgiveness, you're going to just overwhelm them with an understanding of that today. And we pray that that take place right now. And Lord, we thank you for the baptisms that we just saw illustrating that new life is possible. And we don't have to stay where we were. We can become what you've made us to be because of your grace and your mercy, Lord. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in the lives of our young pastors. We thank you, Lord, we're going to see here before this service is over. And God, we pray now in the name of Jesus that you will call us to invest wisely in the name of Christ. Amen. If you'll go with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 and following. We hit a parable. If you've been to church for a while, this was called the parable of the talents. It's really a parable about God giving opportunity. The questions in this moment are this. What in the world is the kingdom of God like? How does God make things work? How does it work in God's circles, if you will? Well, here's the way it works. He said, the kingdom of God's kind of like this. It's like a man that gets ready to go on a journey. Verse 14. And again, it'll be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts his wealth to them. Now, here's what I want you to know. As we get ready to start school, teachers, you know what God's doing? He has deemed you worthy to entrust to you the next world. The next world is in the nursery. Brock, it's in the nursery. And it's going to be exciting. And some of you right now that are looking at you going, man, I can't. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but some of you moms are fixing to do this. It's the worst day in a mother's life, apparently. You have to drop your child off at kindergarten. This bothers moms. Have you noticed how dads are not as bothered as moms about these things? Yeah, and then, you know, you drop them off in kindergarten, and then it's like in the twinkle of an eye, and you're standing in front of this university, and, you know, your little kindergarten, you know, and you probably, you know, hugged and kissed Sam, you know, when he was in kindergarten, right? But, I mean, when his first day at Lindsay, he walks in, I mean, he's a linebacker. He probably had to go, Mom, don't be kissing on me. Don't be hugging me. Just, you know, hey, do you see those good-looking girls over there? You don't need to be kissing on me. Keep a distance here, Mom. It's that quick. It happens that fast. And some of you moms, you know, on Tuesday or Thursday, you're going to have to give the first wave. They're going to go into kindergarten. Here's what they're going to do. Even if you got a tough son, you know, your little son, you get his little curly hair. You got him all sweet and rosy-cheeked. And he's going to walk in as tough as he is and go, oh, 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 mommy. And if you're a good mother, you will leave. Please leave. Because if not, he's going to be in your basement when he's 35. Leave. Just picture this kid in your basement at 35. It will motivate you to leave quickly. It's part of the process. It's called raising your children. It's called making an investment. Now, most of you aren't parents yet in this particular servant. For those of you that are or have been, you realize that, man, if you're going to have a child, that's an investment. God's granted you with a child. Now, I think we need to straighten some things up, okay? You don't have them till you're willing to raise them. And, you know, it's a very crushing thing we're doing in our society, having babies without daddies. And we should be having husbands and wives, and then you have children, and you have them when you can afford them. You don't have them and then ask everybody else to pay for them and everybody else to raise them. These are the reasons that we have problems. Marches don't solve our problems.
Protests don't solve our problems. Internet blogs don't solve our problems. What solves our problems is we own up to the Word of God and we become personally responsible. Ladies, wait till you get married. Boom. This is the cure for single motherhood. Have your babies when you're married. Cure. Here's also a cure.
Cure. Because you know what? I listen to these pundits talk like women walking down the street and become single mothers. Like it's an epidemic of disease. No, it's a faulty investment. Now, come on up, sis. Listen, I want us to live better lives. Amen? Somebody's got to say this stuff. Listen, ain't nobody else going to tell you what I tell you. Nobody else going to tell you what I tell you because they're scared to get you ticked off. Come on. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what God has said. And so eventually you're going to have to square. Now, here's what you know. None of us square. So you better receive Jesus. Nobody lives up to what God says. But guess what? You can live in what God says by His grace. Now, you understand the difference? God gives us something, just like this man. He gave him something, guys. Look, He gave them wealth. He entrusted what He had in them. How many of y'all realize that God has entrusted His precious nature in His church, in His people, in His mothers, in His fathers, and in His children? Now, here's what I want you to understand. Everybody has something. Now, note this. To one of His servants, He gave 5 bags of gold. To another of His servants, He gave 2 bags of gold. And to another one of His servants, He gave what? Now, what are we supposed to say about that? Okay, good. Thank you. Come on, let's say it together. You all know the routine. It's what? Who said? Arius, where'd you go? Arius, Mr. Wright, sir. If you and I line up together, I want you to know I can pray. I can talk to my feet. I can ask God to touch them. If we're running 40s, you win. So let me ask you a question. Are you supposed to slow down so I can catch up? But hold on. That's what the world's teaching you today. That for all of us to be equal, we're supposed to slow down so some can catch up. See, if I was teaching this according to the world's standard, that nasty guy with 5, he did something wrong to get it. He's a crook. And we have injustice at 2-1. Hold on, it's silent in this room because y'all going, ooh, Doc, you coming at it today. Because y'all know that's what you've been taught. You've been taught it's not fair for others to have more than others. Well, that's not what God said. That's not what God said. In fact, God makes a notable difference. There will be those who prosper and there will be those who starve because they won't invest. God even goes ahead and warns you, if you're not going to make the investment, you will lose what you have. But what do we do with that?
Not fair.
We'll talk about social justice. Why don't we talk about God's justice? You know what nobody sees in that? Most of you don't even see what God's trying to teach. Because who are you stuck on? You worried about how he got 5 instead of what you're going to do with 2-1. See, you put the 2-1 together, and they still have what? Now, how many do we have total there? 8. So according to this world, what are we supposed to do? So everybody should get what? Boy, look at all of our math people going. That's about 275. Give a little. So, right? I mean, then we would have what? Equality. But we wouldn't have equality. Because
Because the guy that had five, in being who he's made to be. And the guy that had two, in being who they've been made to be. And the folk that got one, on who they've been made to be. You see, only God can make you. Now let me give you this principle, because guess what? God gives and then you invest. And guess what? Here's what I want you to know. God said he multiplies. He multiplies. Now check this out. Leonard, I'm going to go with you because you a multiplier. You understand this biblical concept. Now, and let's say I have one. Have I lost? No, I'm going to tell you something. God said that he'll grow things. If you go over to Mark 4 and you look at the power of the sower, he said, man, if you invest in good soil, if you invest in the things of God, even if you got one, he said, I'll multiply them 30, 60, 100 times. Leonard, since you and I have the same one central math, now we have one central math. That's why I'm checking to see if Leonard and I are on the same page. We've got Butler County math over here. Don't be laughing at mountain math over here, Breathitt County. Yeah. Let's see, Dwayne, if it's the same kind of math. 1 times 100 is
100.
How many of y'all got 1 times 100? It's 100. Now hold on. With 100, can a lot be done? Now here's what I want you to hear. It's going to blow you away. We're going to go to school. You need to find what you've been given and invest it. Now listen, if you're a whiner, I'm going to ask you in the name of Jesus to quit whining. And I want you to see what God's saying. Everybody's got something. Everybody. And if you're going to hang out at Hillview, you better know the heart of your pastor. Because guess what? I believe every human being has got something. And I'm a full supporter of public schools. You know why? Public schools eliminate whining. Last time I checked, we all sat in front of the same teacher. Yeah, I had a buddy of mine, man. We were walking into church just a few years back, and he looked at me and he said, Rev, that's a nice ride you got there. Wish I had one. And I said, well, if you hadn't been high for 4 years in high school, you probably would have. See, people don't like me because I tell them the truth. Because I don't buy this baloney. He sat right there in the same class I sat in. I had to do my homework. He chose not to do his. I ain't saying I was a scholar, but I made enough to go on. He didn't get enough on the board to go on to the next level. Back when I went to school, colleges didn't accept people that couldn't write their name. It's different than it is today. You actually had to get in. Today, you just sign up. Yeah. If you had a 9 on your ACT, guess what that was called? Would you like fries with that hamburger? Daddy, I'm telling the truth. You know I'm telling the truth, girl. See, today, we're trying to make ones fives. And the problem we don't understand, we can't make them. God can. You see, God can turn a 1 into 100, but we're trying to do it on our scale instead of God's investment. Here's what a lot of people miss. God gave, the journeyman gave, the master gave 5, 2, 1. What did he give? Everybody got what? Everybody got what? I want y'all to say it with me. Everybody got what? Would you tell your neighbor that? You got something. Good. Do it again. Tell the other neighbor, the other side of you. They got something too. Good. Y'all are working now. Now we got 5, 2, and 1. Does everybody have something? Could something great be done? Let me tell you something. Not everybody. I told y'all this before. I was not in the advanced reading group. I called in. Back then the educational theory was, is to not let slow children know they were slow. We knew. Here's how we knew. I was over there on C-Spot Walk. I'm talking Spot was jumping fences in the other group. I'm talking dude was cooking. He's running 60, 70 miles an hour in the other reading book. Spot was barely walking. I was a slow reader. Still a slow reader. So guess what? I read slow. It takes me longer to read than you. I guess what I should have done is done Occupy Slow Reading Group.
and demanded that the world read at my speed. No, that sounds foolish, but it is just as foolish as everything else I hear today. You want to know why there's violence in our young people? Because there are no fathers. See, I don't understand this. And I've raised two kids, so I'm going to speak a little boldly now. And if they mess up tonight, both of them will be in pain. I know where my kids are. When my kid was in high school, I knew where my kid was. When my kid had a vehicle, I still knew where my kid was. I don't understand parents that don't know where their child is. I know where my child is. I know who they're with. Yeah. I don't get it. Tyler, you and Kate better know where he is. You've got a cell phone on him. And when he calls and he's not where he's supposed to be, let him know. So one day he will experience judgment. I will find where you are. See, because here's what I want you parents to understand. We live in a democracy in this nation. But we did not live in a democracy in my house. As my two children, they lived in the kingdom of Stephen. And in the kingdom of Stephen, Stephen was the king. And there the king provides meals, opportunities, lunches, and other known mall articles that I still don't know about that were bought by my daughter and my wife. But Daisy, I'm telling the truth. My children lived in my kingdom till they decided to go be the king and queen of their own place. I didn't compromise. I heard all that stuff. My kids came and said, well, Dad, you know, nobody does it like you. I said, you're right. Nobody does it like me. They go, what do you mean by that? I said, most of them stink. Most of their ideas are not good. Shocking that I'm that bold. You know, watch this, parents. If you don't discipline your children, you don't love them. Bible. God says he disciplines people he loves. And he loves us. Raise the kids. If you got kids, love them and raise them. Let me ask y'all a question. How many of you parents are going to make your kids go to school? Well, the rest of you scared to raise your hand, scared your kid to be mad at you? Now, how many of y'all are probably going to hear this in the next two semesters? Mom, Dad, I don't want to go to school today. I bet Thursday we have an outbreak of summer viruses, flus, headaches. I didn't want to go to school every day. In fact, I would have never been in school any day if my parents had been the parents of today and said, honey, we don't want to hurt your self-esteem. Let me help you. Our world is going to hell over self-esteem. I'm not worried about y'all's self-esteem. Guess what I already know about your self-esteem? It stinks. Blake Dunn, I coach you. Do I care about your self-esteem? When you tell me how you feel, what do I tell you? I could care less how you feel. This is not a game of feelings. And all you feeling people, you've sent the world to hell long enough. Game over. And that includes you in the name of Jesus that have done it. The truth will set you free. Jesus. Not your feelings, not your esteem, not your moment, not what they say, what God says. Hold on, I'm calling you to invest. Young couples, when you have kids, what are you going to have to do? Raise them. I get asked this question. That's one I want to clarify. Pastor Steve, what do I do if my children won't go to church? I go, how old are they? 7. See, here's what I don't understand. I don't understand how 6'2", 225-pound fathers can't go get in the minivan now. And guess what they do? You can put them in time out if you want to. I didn't use time out. I use your time will be over. I want to understand the judgment of God. Your time will be over. Now, sister, you got to discipline your kids. God disciplines his kids. He loves his children. 5-2-1, everybody got what? Everybody had something. And everybody still got something. And God's got something in you. And God has given you something. And kids, listen, I'm going to tell you, I want you to do something. First day of school, your teachers, all you teachers in here, you're going to go crazy. Mary Sanson, how many times, just an estimate, it's in the zillions, have you looked at a group of students and said this, listen, students, listen, teachers do not want to fail you. They want you to leave their room. If you make an F in today's times, you have some serious problems. They give you a C for putting your name on the paper. Parents, quit going in there and blaming the teachers for your mistake. Your kids got your name on it. Raise them. Now quit trying to make them like you. We already got one of you. That's enough. We need one like God. He wants them to be. Let them find their something. There's a remarkable difference between my son and I. I'm amazed at what God has already done in his life. He made a remarkable decision that I did not make. He listens. I didn't listen. I didn't listen for a long period of time, and I paid some stupid consequences. And I paid some money for my stupid consequences. I grew up in an era where they didn't bail you out for being stupid. You just work extra. Which taught you not to be stupid again. But my son, he gets it. He listens to people. He looks at people that do well and he says, you know, this works and that doesn't work. And he doesn't whine when it goes wrong. I'm watching his life. I'm amazed at a young age. What's going on? Listen to what God has said. Invest wisely. Here's why I tell you this. The guy that had five bags, the guy that had two bags, guess what? There comes a time to give an account. There comes a time to give an account. One day, it's accounting day. I want everybody to be ready for this because I know this is going to blow you all away. You ready? Y'all may need to hold each other's hands. Because most of your parents haven't given you one of these. Consequence. There's a consequence for not investing wisely in what God has given you. And God's going to hold you accountable. Watch this. I was supposed to preach. If I didn't preach, guess what? God's going to look at me and go, why didn't you do what I told you to do? And I go, because, Lord, I loved money. And I said, well, he said, I hope you had a good time with it because there's a consequence. A consequence. How many of y'all know what a consequence is? They still happen. Nobody can take them away. You can protest. You can blog. You can jump up and down. You can get your mama to stand in for you. You can hold up banners. But the consequence will come in no matter what you do. There's a consequence. Stay out of things that are bad investments. But that's not the message today. It's get into things that are good ones. He tells us this, one got five, one got two, one got one. Everybody got something. Let me show you what happened. The guy who had five and the guy that had two, guess what they did? Their master came back. And when he came back, he said, what have you done with what I've given you? Let God speak to you right now. What are you going to do with what God's given you? He's given you so many beautiful things. What are you going to do with what God's given you? Now look at this. The man who had five bags and the man who had two bags, this is what happened to them. The man who had received five bags of gold, he came and said, Master, you entrusted me with five bags of gold. See here, I've gained five more. The guy who had two, guess what? He said, you entrusted me with two bags, and here I have what? Y'all ready for this? Guess what these two guys did? Hold on, I'm going to show you. Now, you got to work the scripture back here. I'm going to show you. This is amazing. Y'all going to go crazy right here. Sister, y'all need to hold each other's hand on this one right here. It's going to blow you away. You've never heard this. It's going to blow you away. It's going to blow you away. A lot of you haven't. It's going to blow you away. You ready for this? The guy who got five bags and the guy, watch. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to... work! Oh, my gosh. How many of y'all know work works? Y'all like that? Work works. Guess what the solution to poverty is?
Elect me. I get everybody off welfare quick.
This is your life. You're either going to die or you're going to go to work. Now you have motivation.
Guess what it is for billions of people.
If I don't invest today, I don't live today.
No, that's billions of people on this earth. Every day that take breath. If I don't invest today, I don't live today. See, they get God. But we have created an illusion. Now, who creates illusions? Somebody help me. Who creates illusions? Pastor Sean, who creates illusions? Thank you, Tyler, helping Pastor Sean out. It's the devil. Because hold on. Guess what he says? Here's a lie of the devil. You can get something for nothing. I think that's a lie of the devil, don't you? Because the Bible says you got to go and put it to what? But the devil says what? The devil says you deserve it. Why? You're born. Let me ask you a question. Why do you deserve more than another human being? Tell me what has created a mentality that is collapsing the very fabric of our society that says, I can do nothing and have something. Guess what? If you don't invest in school, your grades will be low. Guess what that means? I hate it, kids, but you got to do your homework. Hey, I'm with you. Teachers ought to be able to get it done in 8 hours. But they send some of it what? And you got to work it. How many of y'all found that people work, prosper? Yeah. Don't let that scare you. Yeah. I like that, right? Yeah, the harder I work, the luckier I get. Some of you say, I can't find a job. I disagree. You can't find the job you want. And you're unwilling to invest in the job that's available.
Some of you say, well, Pastor Steve, I can't go there. It's not fun.
Let me tell you what it's called. Work. Let me tell you something else that's not fun. Marriage. Some of y'all have been disappointed in that. It's not always fun. I just want to prepare you for some things that aren't always fun. It's not always fun. Work is not always fun. Even Pastor Andrew, who's had the beautiful privilege of working here at Hillview Heights Church. Pastor Andrew, is it always fun to work here? No. Why? Andrew works for a madman. I actually have expectations. When Andrew comes in, he goes, well, it was really wonderful. It was a blessing. It was glorification unto God. It was great. How many people got saved, Andrew? Well, it was glorified. I said, Andrew, you're not with another pastor. You're with me. God counts.
Now, pastors don't count.
And here's what I found. Most of the pastors that don't like counting don't like working. You still got to work. See, the guy who had five, what did he do? He went to. The guy that had two, guess where he went? And the guy who had one, guess where he went?
I like your all's observations.
Well, see, one went to work. See, the guy who had five went to work. The guy who had two went to work. And the guy that had one went to fear. You see, this will stop you from becoming who you are. Fear. But you see, if you'll receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you become fearless because in perfect love there is no. And you can invest what you have. You know what? I've seen people sweep the floors, outdo people who had PhDs. You know why? Because they were a fourth floor sweeper with no fear. And they said, God, this is what I got. And he said, you're exactly right. And he took what they had and he lifted it to his glory. I'm telling you, if we get back into that mentality, we will see God's grace all over the place. Make sense? Do what God made you to do. Amen. If you sweep the floors, to the glory of what?
If you drive a truck, what? If you sell insurance, what? Sell it cheap to the glory of God. If you're a doctor, what? I hope. How many of y'all want a doctor that didn't work much? See, it changes when it comes to doctors, doesn't it? Yeah, we don't want a doctor that just went to class and went, that's all right. How many of y'all want a doctor that only, you know, he only learned half the bones. That was enough to pass. Or she only knows part of the organs to work on. Y'all okay with that? See, when it comes to us, we change our minds, don't we? Well, guess what? I don't want a preacher that only knows half the Bible. I don't want a preacher that only does one thing. Is it the same thing? We got to work. We got to work. We got to what? Here's why. Invest it, guys. The guy who had five, the guy who had two, let me tell you what God said. They went and put their things to work. God yielded a blessing in it. God made it more than it was originally. And look what happened. He said, well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful with a little. Now I can entrust you with a lot. Let me see what the guy with one did. Please do not do this. Do not do this. Do not do this. Don't run and hide. And don't bury what God has given you. Go risk it. Here's what I found. People that don't have a life always talk about other lives. Did you realize there were people in that Wall Street Occupy? You remember that Occupy jazz? If you're for that, you know, God forgives you. But guess what? All that Occupy jazz. There were people there with graduate degrees whining about what they weren't making. I'll give them something to whine about. None of them paid for their degree. People like me paid for their degree. Most of them, their mamas and daddies paid for the degree. And you know why they act like that? Because some mama and daddy coddled them for the first 30 years of their lives instead of teaching them consequences. I mean, if you got a master's degree for free and you can't make money, whose fault is it? Wah, wah, wah. It's on you. Eventually, you got to do something with what you got. Even God won't make you do it, but he'll keep you accountable when you don't do it. Now, I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said, and we're going to close. Y'all ain't going to like what Jesus said. Woo! Jesus would be in trouble. I'm talking Bill Maher would be talking about Jesus. I mean, they'd be mad at Jesus right here. The guy who had one and did nothing with it, chose not to invest, chose not to harvest, chose not to gain, then guess what he did? He said, what about yours? He said, well, I knew you were a hard man. You planted where you hadn't sown. I knew who you were. Well, see, here's the problem. He didn't know who he was. And here's the problem with the church. A lot of the church doesn't know what grace is. Grace does not call us to be lazy, but it empowers us to be fruitful. That's real grace. Cheap grace says do what you want to. God's grace says now you can do what he's called you to. See the difference? Now you can do what he's called you to. Check us out. This is what Jesus said about the dude that chose to do nothing. Please don't find yourself in this category. And if you are, repent today. This is what Jesus says will go on with people that do absolutely nothing. I'm just telling you what Jesus says. So get mad at him about it. You lazy, wicked servant. Uh-oh. That is politically what? Incorrect. Jesus is not talking justice here. He's talking truth. You were given opportunity and you squandered it. And now you come to me and complain about who I am without looking at who you are. One of the greatest bumper stickers I've ever seen in my life. Focus on your own family. You know what? If everybody would focus on their own family, guess what would happen? The world would straighten up. Take care of what God's given you. Quit worrying about what God's given the dude down the road. Girls, quit worrying about the other girls in the room. Be the one you're supposed to be. Guys, quit worrying about if somebody else is ahead. Are you where you're supposed to be?
Doesn't this make sense, young people? It just makes what? So Anna, guess what? You got to go be the girl you're supposed to be that God has made to be at the Big Blue. Make sense? And you'll graduate with an education. It's not a Hilltopper education, but it's an education nonetheless. Andrew graduated from there, then moved to Bowling Green to fill in the gaps. I'm just kidding. UK's a great school. Check us out. Go be who you're made to be. And I want to give you a warning. Don't you stand before God doing nothing and expect something, because there's going to be a big surprise. And even what you have will be gone. Now, you're talking about the opposite of the world today. What do we say? Take it from the five. Why? We say the five's got enough. But see, here's the problem is, God doesn't invest in folks that do nothing. And there's a lot of folk in our nation, guess what they do? Nothing. They wake up in the morning to do what? They can't be excited about vacation. Why? Every day's one. Because what do you do on vacation? Hello? Some of y'all tore up about not being able to retire. Well, some of you don't need to retire. You never started working. I say we need to invest. Amen. I'm going to close up here. Did y'all get this today? Now, listen, you can be mad at me, send me 100 emails, and guess what? It's still not going to change what God said. Take what you've been given and invest it and see what happens to your life. I had a friend the other day. He was mad at God. I mean, he's mad at God. He hit a bad business deal. Everything fell apart. And he goes, well, Ayers, I'm going to tell you one thing. If your God really did work, then I wouldn't be in this situation. I said, why are you bringing God into it? You never brought God into the decisions you made in business. You've never been a tither. You've never been a faithful churchgoer. I said, why are you invoking God in your disasters when you've never invoked God in your blessings? He said, that's a good point. So I say, your life looks like a life without a relationship with God. This is what they look like. He goes, man, you hard. I said, no, I'm just truthful. It's just nobody wants to tell the truth. Why? You don't hurt our feelings. I have to coach football now like I'm daggum Mr. Rogers so I won't get sued. Say, come on, boys. Welcome to the neighborhood. Ollie the trolley will be coming through at water break. Let us make contact, but let us not grunt when we do, because that might offend somebody. Good gosh. You know who created this world? You know who helped create it? The American church. Because when you do nothing, the world becomes wicked. And we were more concerned about being polite than we were being potent. Because if you're going to be potent, you know what I mean by that word? Make a difference. Then you got to take the risk of being disliked. I think, I want to tell you all the truth. I love you so much. I don't want any of you to stand before Jesus and he go, you lazy, wicked servant. I want him to say, you didn't have much of a pastor, but you took what you had and utilized it. Welcome in, my good and faithful servant. There you go. You know what God told this dude? If he'd have put his money on interest, he'd have heard the same thing. So guess what? Do something with what you have. Amen? Now, some of you don't have it to do yet because you hadn't received the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you waiting on? Well, Pastor Steve, I need to think about it. Well, here's what you're thinking about. I would like to stay in hell longer.
I mean, here's what God's saying. I want to pull you out of where you are to bring you to where I can make you to be. Now, you young people, guess what? Y'all are doing this one. I hear the devil. Well, Pastor, you understand, I'm partying a little bit, man. Everything going good. After I finish doing that, I'm going to straighten up and follow Jesus. Who said you's going to finish? See, that's what the devil forgets to tell you. And he forgets to tell you he's going to kill some of you in the process. He forgets to tell you that line. He forgets to tell you you don't have time guaranteed. He forgets to tell you that right now is the day of decision, not tomorrow. Right now. He said, Pastor Harris, what if I mess up after I get saved? Your daddy will love you until you get it. For our Father art in heaven calls us to invest. Amen. All right, y'all cool? God wants to save some folks today. Man, I know it's been a tough lesson. I've seen some of y'all's heads. Y'all have grimaced. Isn't it crazy? It's 180 what all y'all have heard, isn't it? Man, I apologize that you all have had to hear this jazz ever since you were born. Bless y'all's heart. Y'all have been given a trophy for participation. That's communist. It's awful. It's wrong. And if you're a parent that supports that, I love you, but you are absolutely out of your mind. Let me show you how cruel you are. You con a child to their 20, 22 years old, and then you throw them into the world of consequence. I mean, we have people that have to go have 4 months of therapy the first time an HR person gives them a critical word. We got parents, this is a new phenomenon, I can't imagine this. We got parents calling companies complaining about the job report that their child got. You call me and I'll have some words for you. You know why? First of all, parents didn't trust God with their kids. Second of all, they hovered instead of invested. Yeah. That's why we got men in basements. That's why we got, watch this. I'm going to give you words. I heard this jazz this week. I heard this jazz from some young people. Pastor Steve, I'm just trying to get spiritually focused. I said, really, what about your job? Well, man, the Lord don't care about a job. I said, really? I said, I guess that's why he wrote this scripture. A man that is unwilling to take care of his family is worse than a reprobate and an unbeliever. We got a lot of dudes out there that are worse than a reprobate and an unbeliever. Bring a life into this world and never pay for it as a man and call yourself a man? Back up. A man takes care of what he creates. A boy runs from it. A man will step up and own it, and a boy will, well, come on, men, y'all know what you do when you're a boy. How many of y'all ever broke a window throwing a baseball where you weren't supposed to throw a baseball? Me and Leonard Bailey, the only one. And about 10 women in here. Women, that's the problem. Y'all are tougher than the men of today. What is this? When I was a boy, if I broke a window, guess what I did? No, not as a boy, I didn't pay for it. I didn't even work it out, Rosa. I told him my brother did it. I lied. I ain't going to lie to y'all. He did it. Somebody else. I blamed it on somebody else. You know why? Because I was a boy. When I was a man, I said, I did it and I'll pay for it. That's spiritual behavior. That's called being spiritual. Ladies, if your man goes to work at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and they come home, you know, in the evening, afternoon, and they've worked all day long, and they provide for you, let me help you all. That's called being spiritual. If you need a devotion with candlelight, I'd take a job over a devotion with candlelight. Because if you're going to have a child, guess what? It's hard for them to live on candlelight devotions.
See, we got this spiritual thing all whacked out. God calls us to daily life that makes an eternal difference. Don't ever forget it. So Dale, guess what that means? You've had to get up real early in the morning so we could hear you on WCVK telling us that it was going to rain all day long and love the Lord. Amen. Let's stand together. Y'all got this today? Say yay or nay. Yay. Tough message. Great God. Today, some of you are going to be saved. You ready? Some of you are going to be saved today. Some of you are going to be saved today. And I don't want to listen. I don't want all y'all peeling out today because we got to pray over one of our pastors that's headed to another city to minister. And I want y'all to pray for him. And Andrew, if you'll just step up here real quick. Pastor Andrew, our youth pastor, and he's led our youth ministry team, which is a team that is beyond excellence. And I thank God for them every day. And I thank God for what's going on with our youth. Pastor Andrew has done more than a blessed job here. He's stepped up. He's manned up. He's learned a lot. I want to brag on him. And obviously, just so I get everything in order, the Holy Spirit causes this to happen. Only God can make this happen. Only God can lead people to salvation. Everybody understand that? Last time I checked, God uses people. And he's used this youth team and Andrew leading it in some very powerful ways. In the last 24 months, he didn't know this the last service, or really 8 o'clock service. In the last 24 months, our youth team, under the influence, power, and direction of the Holy Spirit, has seen 222 kids confess their faith in baptism. That's awesome. Now, this is what's going to blow you away. Andrew has already seen more baptisms than a whole average Baptist pastor would see in their entire career. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Andrew, with all the love of Jesus in my heart, if you decide to be an average Baptist pastor, I'm going to drive to Lexington and whip you personally. Because the last thing the world needs is another average pastor. Because all the average churches and average pastors have sat by averagely watching the world go to hell. We need some men of God and women of God filled with the passion of God that say, I don't have much, but I'll use everything I have so that somebody else can live. When we get there, the world will start changing. After the 9:30 service, a very, very insightful man came up to me and he said, Pastor Ayers, I hear what you're saying. He said, how in the world do we make this happen in the world today? I said, it starts with you and it starts with me and it starts with one person at a time, and it is a slow chain reaction, and it will not be accepted nor will it be popular among the elite. But the problem is the world can't see the faithful. So I'm asking you to be the faithful. Andrew's being called to Lexington to work with Lexington Christian Academy, a great school in our state. And he's going to be working with them. He's also going to be planting a church in the Lexington area. Baptist churches in the Lexington area. We're a little bit of short on energy in Lexington. So God's calling. And Andrew loves Lexington. He's conned several of our students here to go to UK. And one of them that I know personally. And he loves the big blue, and God has given him a heart for Lexington. It has been our honor, our privilege to be a part of your journey in ministry for this season of time. And we love Andrew, and I love what this youth team's doing. I love our kids in this church, and I want to give you some good news. There's some young people right over here, and guess what? They step up, church, and they stand up every day for Jesus. And I'm proud of you guys. And I mean it. And you say, well, Pastor Steve, when are you going to be easy on us? Never. Because this is not an easy faith. But guess what? It's possible by grace. We're going to pray over Andrew after some of you all get saved, that the Lord's led you to be saved. Some of you need to come up here, man. You need to follow those baptisms you saw. You saw those gentlemen step up today. And guess what? They were baptized, weren't they? Well, man, come on. Do what God tells you to do. Some of you today need to come up here and say, God, I'm sorry. I've been looking at what everybody else has, and I've forgotten to see what I have. I'm going to tell you where the devil will put your eyes. He'll put you on what somebody else has, and then he'll try to show you what you don't have. Because guess what he knows? I'm going to end on this. I really am going to end on this. I promise. What grade you got to go to this time? No way. Eighth grade. Watch the boys in eighth grade. They get weird about this time. Okay. You ready? The devil will show you what somebody else has, and he'll show you what you don't have, because he never wants you to invest what God has given you. So let's pray. Anybody here need to be saved? Jesus wants to save you. You say, what does that mean? It means you've got to realize you've sinned against God. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm as good as anybody in the room. I don't disagree with you. We're all good for hell. Every one of us have broken the Ten Commandments. I don't know anybody that's kept it or followed it. So today, why don't you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin. Is that cool? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my what? Sin. Lord Jesus, I believe you to be the Son of God. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life. I believe you died on the cross. You've risen from the grave. I receive you, Jesus. Man, if you've never done that, just do it. Maybe you've done that this week, last week. Sometime you need to get obedient to baptism. And today you need to walk down those steps or up this aisle. And you need to say, Pastor, I want to be obedient in baptism. And man, God's going to just going to blow you away. I want you to come if you got kids going to school, or if you got to go to school, or if you're a teacher. I want us to just come and pray. We've prayed at each service for all of our teachers. This is a teaching church. I believe in our schools. I believe in our teachers. I don't take public schools apart, because guess what? Quit complaining about the public schools. There's only one reason they got crazy going on in them. They're open to the public. And you know what? Last time I checked, I'm part of the public. And I want you to know that I've prayed in public schools, and I will continue to do so. You know, Pastor Steve, it might offend the Muslims. Yeah, it might save a few of them too. So we got a challenge. Are we going to invest? Or are we going to hide what God's given us in the fear that somebody might not like us? God's called you to live full and abundant. Well, here's my prayer for everybody at Hillview Heights Church, that one day you're going to stand before God and he's going to go, hey, Bailey, come on in here, you good and faithful servant. You took what I gave you and you did what I said. You're going to say, Curry, come on in here, my good and faithful servant. By my grace, you made something happen. Amen. Pray with me. Lord, save those that need to be saved. Bring those that need to be baptized, baptized. Bring those that need to be healed here for healing. Lord, we thank you for the youth. We thank you for Andrew with a sincere heart of what you've done in his life. And Lord, right now we just pray that you heal, you minister, and you address your children to invest wisely. In the name of Jesus, amen. Church, this altar's open. Hey, don't stand there today on a day like today. Don't stand on this truth today. Come and pray. Ask God to show you, teach you. Ask God to love you, make you, change you. Come on right now. There are people that need to be baptized. There's people that need to be saved. Thank you. Come on, pastors, be asking them. Thank you, guys.